CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined, as always, by Gabby Urrutia. We have a barbecue to touch on, big recruiting event for the University of Miami. Plenty of big timers in the 23 cycle, 24 cycle, and 25 cycle rolled through on Saturday. So we just want to touch on some of the names to know that did come through and, you know, maybe provide a little bit of buzz in terms of like where things might be standing for those recruits. Then we want to touch on the today, August 1st, is official offer day. So it's technically by NCAA rules the first day that recruits in the 2023 cycle can be offered by any school. And so Miami's sending out their official offers and recruits are tweeting out those offers. And it's an interesting day because you maybe learn about some new targets here going into the fall. So we'll touch on some of those names to know there. And we will then wrap it up with a big picture look at where things stand for Miami and recruiting now that we're in a dead period. So it's a dead period starting August 1st. No recruits can go on campus this month, which allows coaches across the country to focus on fall camps. But it is an opportunity for schools to regroup, kind of reshuffle their recruiting boards or decide maybe some new targets to go chase. So we'll kind of have a little discussion about where things stand with Miami's class in general now with fall camp on the horizon. So Gabby, let's discuss the barbecue, some of the big names to know. There's plenty of big time names. I feel like some of the fan base got caught up in the drama of what was going on at other schools, which I think is, you know, fine and fun. But I don't think it should be lost on Miami fans, the big names that this staff was able to get on campus, particularly in this 2023 class. So I will pass that discussion off to you. And let's highlight maybe five guys. We can go one at a time. Five guys that is worth highlighting that visited Miami here over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think one we should definitely start with, maybe Jurian Dickey, five-star Oregon commit, the number two ranked wide receiver in the country. He gets down to Miami, and I believe we reported on Thursday or Friday that he was going to be down in South Florida for vacation with his family, which he did. I know he spent a lot of the time fishing, but of course, I don't think reading between the lines, we wouldn't report that if there wasn't any intention to actually be at the University of Miami. And of course there was, and he ended up on campus Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
For the barbecue. I think that's a really big deal to kind of get him back. I think most will remember that he was on campus with the Immortals. I think we talked, I don't know if we recorded a podcast before, but he was on campus with the Immortals ahead of that Las Vegas OT7 overtime 7-on-7 tournament. And, you know, again, kind of spent some time there, got to meet with Mario Cristobal, those guys. So getting him back on campus, I think, was a really big deal. And definitely doesn't hurt that he spent a couple days in the 305. And I know Jaden Rashada, Miami's quarterback commit, has been working Jerrion Dickey hard and, you know, really working, it seems, a few of the nation's top wide receivers pretty hard behind the scenes. So, you know, I think it's a, I think Miami's definitely clawing their way there. I think he's saying all the right things about Oregon, but, you know, I think Miami's, you know, kind of fine trying to, you know, maybe wedge their way into this recruitment.
Yeah, I'll say this from an observation standpoint, and this is just, you know, Mario the recruiter, right? So everyone knows by now that Jerrion Dickey's a big time fisherman. That's kind of his passion, his hobby, loves to go fishing. So the barbecue / pool party was, of course, at UM's on-campus pool, which borders Lake Osceola, which is the lake kind of right in the center of the campus. Miami had some fishing poles available on their little walkover bridge for one section of that lake. And, you know, plenty of the recruits, honestly, were throwing some poles in the water, having fun with it. But it just shows, you know, Mario the recruiter is going to work every angle. I think technically, Gabby, it's against rules to fish in that lake.
I was going to say, isn't it? But I don't think anyone's so. Going to, I don't think anyone's going to tell not. Mario Cristobal no, right?
Correct. So, you know, just a little insight. We all know Mario the maniac recruiter. He's going to play every angle he can to try and win a recruitment. And, you know, from what I observed too, Jerrion wasn't really there for a long time, but I think it was good that he did pop by, spent plenty of time with Josh Gattis while he was there as well. So definitely appears to be a high priority target moving forward, even though he, of course, is still committed to Oregon. Who's the next guy you want to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, another big time talent, Damon Wilson. Let's go Damon Wilson, the top 247 edge rusher out of Venice, you know, one of the highest rising prospects in this latest ranking. I think he jumped from, you know, a little bit over 100 to the number to, like, you know, top 40 prospect. I think he's on even still an upward trajectory when it comes to, you know, his evaluation process and how some, you know, decision makers and just really just some talent evaluators kind of view him. You know, I think he's a big time talent, and I think getting him back down to Miami this weekend, again, I think it's really important because these kids could have, like, really a couple of these kids had to pick one, maybe two schools to go to if they were close enough. And I think Damon Wilson making the decision to come down to Miami, I think it's just a clear sign that he has legitimate interest.
Big.
I think that's kind of been the vibe with his recruitment. Like, Miami's an actual contender in this recruitment. Of course, Miami's done a really good job at IMG Academy, which is not far from Venice. You know, so they're Miami's, you know, they've had some success in that part of the state. You know, Mario Cristobal obviously would be pretty close to home. I think closer to home than anyone else on that top five. So, I mean, I think that's a massive, you know, kind of visitor for them.
Yeah, I will say this. This was the first time I had seen Damon Wilson just in person. Looks the part, right? Looks like a top 50 recruit, looks like a five-star edge rusher, which I think now the composite has him as a five-star prospect. And I will say, like, if I had to pick out one recruit where it was noticeable that Mario Cristobal was giving a lot of extra attention, I would say it's Damon Wilson. So definitely appeared to be a high level priority for this staff. And, you know, it looked like he was having a good time at the barbecue. So, and, you know, I believe it looked like both his parents were there with them. So, you know, this is a recruitment where Mario's going to keep chipping away at it. And, you know, I think Miami's in a good spot here for a guy that is honestly just scratching the surface of his talent level. Who else would you highlight that was coming through in this 23 cycle?
Yeah, I mean, let's go Samuel Mpemba, you know, kind of up in the air whether he was going to come down. when we went to IMG Media Day on Friday, David, I mean, he kind of told us that that's the plan. He was looking for a ride, right, all that stuff. I think it all got sorted out. I think he was supposed to go to Gainesville for Friday Night Lights. I'm honestly not sure if he made it there. Maybe he did, but he was definitely down at Miami, which is a pretty big deal. And, you know, even after the pool party, you know, there is a rule where they can be anywhere, like in a 1 mile radius of campus. So I know there's a picture out there that Jaden Wayne's father took where, you know, they're right there in South Miami, probably, you know, walking distance from where I'm recording this podcast. You know, went to one of these spots, you know, these local spots to probably grab a bite to eat or whatever it is. So, you know, he spent time at Miami outside of just, you know, the pool party, barbecue cookout, photo shoot thing. And, you know, was definitely there with a couple Miami commits at IMG, and Tommy Kinsler, I believe, was in the photo too, who's a, you know, recent Miami commit as well. So spending plenty of time around the right people. And I think that's a really big deal.
Yeah, he did roll through a little bit later. And I believe the reason was because he did go to Friday Night Lights the night before. I think he just attended. I don't think he participated. So he did roll through at around, I don't know, 3 o'clock or so at the barbecue, but he did make it, and that's huge. And like you said, spent plenty of time with his IMG teammates there as well. So big time getting him on campus. You know, we'll get into it later, but Florida was definitely doing their part to try and make sure guys didn't get down to Miami on Saturday. But Samuel Mpemba was one of the guys who did hit both Friday Night Lights and Miami's barbecue. Where would you go to next, Gabby?
Yeah, I mean, let's go to Jordan Hall, actually. You know, top 247 defensive lineman out of the Jacksonville area. Another guy. This is his second trip down to Miami. A lot of SEC schools involved, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. I think he's mentioned Florida State. You know, Alabama, I'm sure, is in there too. I mean, I think he's one of probably the most physically impressive interior defensive linemen in the country. David, you saw him, I guess, in person. I still haven't seen him in person. Just kind of what did you take away from, you know, maybe just the eye test?
He looks the part. I mean, there's not many guys that, and look, Joe Salavea is still a much bigger human being, but there's not many high school recruits that can stand next to Joe Salavea and it's like, wow, he's actually a big guy too. Jordan Hall has that type of frame. And, you know, similar to what I was saying about Damon Wilson being like clearly a priority for the staff, I would, and again, don't read into this like they weren't showing everyone attention. They were absolutely showing everyone in attendance attention. But if I was saying which guy maybe got, you know, close to that Damon Wilson level, it would be Jordan Hall. It's pretty clear that the staff is high on him as a big frame defensive tackle. I think, you know, he fits that kind of SEC type of defensive lineman, big, long, strong, athletic enough too. And I think he's going to be a big, big, big priority here moving forward in the fall. Definitely looks the part.
Yeah, I think he's a huge, I think that's a really, really big deal that he got back down. I think a couple of these guys, again, considering where they could have gone and all that stuff, and Jordan Hall making his way back, I think it's really big. I really do. Dave, I'm curious about Damari Brown. I mean, he's a guy that I guess we could have maybe pieced together that he could have popped in, but probably could have gone to Oklahoma, could have gone back to Alabama, maybe even to Clemson. You know, stayed home back on Miami's campus. Obviously, a name Miami fans are super familiar with. Of course, I mean, I don't think we said that. I mean, I wasn't at the cookout, obviously. So, I mean, I'm David, obviously relying on you for a lot of this. But, you know, what did you kind of see from Damari Brown? I know he's kind of like a stoic type of kid who just kind of takes everything in and all that type of stuff.
That's kind of how it was, too, at the barbecue. But he was there. He showed up.
Yeah,
showed up a little later, you know, I would say mid-afternoonish. I believe his dad was there with them, who we know is a former Miami Hurricane player. And he was there, maybe spent about 2 hours there. But again, he's a guy that's been on campus so many times and he's seen it all, knows it all. I just think he's a guy that wants to see results, wants to see Miami's trajectory going in the right direction. So, you know, at this point, yeah, it's great getting him on campus. That's a big deal. But the key with Damari, I think, is just go out and win a bunch of games and prove that, you know, this Miami program is going to compete for meaningful things under the leadership of Mario Cristobal. So it was a big kind of sneaky, not sneaky, because like you said, like maybe we should have expected it, but he really did. Like, it seemed like he just kind of popped in on his own because he's a local guy and, you know, he can do that. So to me, Gabby, like just wrapping this all up in terms of the 23 guys, and then there was a ton of commits there, which I can go into a little bit later here too. But, you know, it seemed to me like of the guys that were there in terms of the uncommitted guys, there's really three guys that the staff was just kind of all over when they were there. That would be Jurrion Dickey. That would be Damon Wilson. That would be Jordan Hall. And I think if we look, let's say mid-December, signing day, Miami lands those three guys, I think it would be fair to look back at this barbecue as a resounding success if that ends up happening. So those are going to be three key recruitments to keep an eye on moving forward. I want to touch on, too, just the commits that were there, Gabby, because yeah. This was the first time that I had seen some of these guys in person, just like sizing them up, right? And one thing that is noticeable to me with these guys, particularly the guys that maybe aren't as highly ranked, is they at least look the part. They at least have the frames and body types where maybe they can develop into college starters down the road, because not every recruit is on the same timeline in terms of development. But you look at like Tommy Kinsler looks the part of a big time college offensive lineman. Honestly, Frankie Tinelau looks the part with his frame as a big time college offensive lineman. Emery Williams, this was the first time I'd gotten eyes on him. He looks the part too. He's a legit quarterback that I think, or legit looking quarterback that has a frame that can get to 220 pounds. And he's, you know, he's all of 6'4". He looks the part. Jackson Carver looks the part. His frame, he's easily going to get to 250 when he's fully developed. Robert Stafford is a guy that's, you know, is he 6 foot? I don't know. I think he's pushing 6 foot, but he's clearly got a long wingspan. He's got some long arms on him. So, you know, and we all, of course, know about the highly ranked Miami commits like Francis Maui-Goa, Jaden Rashada, Nathaniel Joseph, Riley Williams, Jaden Wayne. They were all there as well. And they, of course, definitely looked the part. But that's one thing that has struck me, Gabby, just about this recruiting class in general is, you know, I feel like in the past, the three stars that Miami would get kind of looked like three stars. Like they were sawed off in some way physically, or, you know, didn't have the frame to add the necessary strength and weight that is needed to compete at the college level. These three stars to me have upside. Again, I'm not predicting like they're going to move up in the rankings or anything like that. I'm just saying they look like three star guys that have a chance to start down the road. Just from a body type perspective, there's a lot more that goes into it than just the body type. But to me, that is a huge starting point when you are projecting high school players to the next level.
Yeah, no, I think it's all really well said, David. And I think that's big for you to have gotten eyes on them for the first time. I mean, Tommy Kinsler, like, I mean, he's someone that you look at him and you could see why that, you know, maybe they were higher on him than, you know, again, I'm not knocking any of the rankings or anything like that, but like, you know, just because of his ranking, like they weren't turned off by that. I think that they made their evaluation there. And again, I see him in person and I'm just like, yeah, like I get it. I mean, again, I think he's you know, legit 6'5", 6'6", you know, 330 pounder. I mean, I think that's a body type that you can work with. And I think that's why people in Coral Gables are so high on him. And I think the same could be said about a lot of those guys. Like Jackson Carver is someone I know they're extremely, extremely high on. And You know, mm-hmm. a couple of those other guys, Emery Williams, of course, they're just in love with that evaluation and what they're getting out of him. And again, another one that I think it's a big deal that he didn't go camp somewhere else, right? Like he could have been, you know, Florida yeah. State scrambling for a quarterback. They had a camp on Saturday. He could have gone and thrown for that staff. He didn't. He came down to Miami and was hanging out with Jaden Rashada. And, you know, even just talking to a couple people on staff after, it seemed like the two quarterbacks have a very good dynamic too, where maybe they're not best friends yet, but, you know, there's a mutual respect there and they're hanging yeah. out and they're friendly with each other and all that stuff. And, you know, I think they're both very welcoming to the competition that, you know, each one of them are going to provide. So, you know, I think there's a very good dynamic with this recruiting class. And I think it was good for a lot of them to get together.
How about the 24 class? Because, you know, I think, and rightly so, we focus a lot on the 23 class because that's the one that's going to sign in, what, 4 months or so? But there was a lot of big time 2024s there, Gabby. We don't have to go into all of them because there's a ton. I would say go check out Inside the U for the confirmed visitor list that we have posted there. Let's at least just talk about the five-star guys. So Jarrett Gibson, that one was another, he's from IMG Academy, five-star running back. That one was kind of up in the air too, right? When we were there Friday, I thought I heard him say, he was going to go down to Miami. Then I guess he told you specifically he wasn't, he was going to go to Florida. And then I don't know if he ended up going to Florida period, but he did go to Miami.
He did go to Miami. This is a five-star number one running back in the country for that 2024 class. Just, I mean, kind of like a freak, you know, like that. These are the names that maybe you kind of scroll past on the visitors list. You're like, oh, that's cool. Like a five-star 2024, not really focused on that next year. But if he's at Miami this time next year, it's going to be like the biggest deal in the world. Right. So, you know, even though 2024s aren't the center of focus right now, these are massive, massive visits. Like on September 1st, you know, these coaches can start actually calling the 24s themselves. So it's going to start picking up quickly. And Miami already has 16 commits in this class. I mean, these guys are already kind of looking forward to 2024. Right. Like, you know, Mario Cristobal has said it himself. He wants to be a class ahead. He always wants to be a class ahead. So I think the goal for this staff is to get that 2024 ball rolling so they can eventually get onto 25 and 26. And that's how it's going to be. So it is important to note these, you know, underclassmen that are coming.
How about Zaquan Patterson? We haven't really talked about him much on the podcast, but local five-star DB, big deal getting him on campus.
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal getting him on campus. Again, I think, you know, this 2024 class, especially at Chaminade Madonna school, we once considered a great pipeline for Miami. You know, I think Miami needs to kind of get that back open again. A couple of really big time prospects. There's 3 5-stars in that 2024 class at Chaminade. Zaquan Patterson, a defensive back that's going to be, you know, super highly touted. You know, he's been a big deal here in South Florida since his freshman season. Getting him back on campus is a huge deal. Again, another guy who could have gone to Florida and Florida State, like you know, a few of his teammates, Jeremiah Smith, Josiah Trader, did that. You know, I think it's huge that he kind of stayed at Miami and he went down there. So, you know, I think there's a, again, I think that's one that Miami's going to have to fight for, battle for. But I think they're kind of trending in the right direction right now in that recruitment. And I think that's important.
Before we turn the page from this barbecue, I think it's worth noting Miami picked up a commitment from a 2024 kicker that was at the barbecue. And quite frankly, Gabby, when I was there just observing everything, I could tell he probably popped then. You know, that's not for us to try and quote unquote steal his moment. So I didn't necessarily hype it up or put it out there. But I did text our guy, Chris Stock, who we work with at Inside the U, that, hey, this guy might've popped. Miami seems really excited. They just took a bunch of pictures together. Maybe check in with him because Chris loves the specialists. Kickers are people too.
Yeah.
But what is the internal intel on Abram Murray? What type of kicker did Miami land in next year's class?
I mean, I'm not here having evaluated kickers, but kind of watching some clips on Twitter and stuff like that. I mean, it seems like his kid has a boot. I mean, David, we were outside of the facility after Legends Camp talking to a couple people about, you know, kickers and punters that day. And, you know, I remember a Miami staffer calling Abram Murray one of the best high school kickers that they've ever seen. Like, and he was talking about how he was just going to be a junior then. And, you know, I think this is someone that they really, really like, kind of, you know, checking in with some people at Miami. You know, they feel like he's, you know, beyond his years in terms of the talent and the, you know, the actual person. So I know Miami's really, really excited to get this one on board. You know, it times up really, really well with Andres Borgalis's career. I think Murray will be a true freshman when Borgalis is a senior. So, you know, I think it'll be a good chance for him to kind of not necessarily have to be thrown into the fire the way Borgalis was last year. I think it'll give him a chance to kind of, you know, ease his way in. And, you know, that redshirt freshman year, I think he's going to be, you know, ready to go. I think Miami will be in very, very good hands. And we've seen how important the field goal stuff is, the kicking stuff, and the special teams here at Miami over the last few years. We've seen the good and the bad of it with, you know, Jose Borgalis and Lou Headley. You know, that was an awesome year. And we've also had the, you know, the Bubba Backs, Zach Fiegel's incidents as well. Sorry to bring that up. But so I think we should appreciate the, you know, landing top notch kickers. So it seems like Miami has one lined up for, you know, once Borgalis is once his career is over, which is awesome.
Yeah. Everything matters in football, and kickers certainly matter. All right. Let's take a break on that. And then on the other side, Gabby, we'll get into some thoughts on Miami and Florida going head to head for a couple guys this weekend, kind of where things are at with that. And we'll get into some other recruiting talk as well.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Gabby, when we were driving back from IMG on Friday, you were working the phones in the car, and two guys in particular, it looked like Miami was going to be going head-to-head with Florida with on the weekend, and that would be Miami Northwestern wide receiver Andy Jean, and that would be Tampa Wharton, correct? He's Wharton.
Yeah.
Cornerback Dijon Johnson, who at the time was committed to Ohio State. And I think you and I were talking right after you were working that situation. And I think my comment to you was, it'll be interesting to see if Florida lets those guys get down to Miami, because they were planning to be there for Friday Night Lights. Of course, Miami's barbecue was Saturday, and this is just the recruiting game, right? Like Florida knew that Miami wanted both those guys down on Saturday. And so the game is, don't let that happen. And so let's talk about Andy Jean first, the wide receiver out of Miami Northwestern. I guess, are you surprised that this happened? I feel like behind the scenes, we did kind of get the feeling that Florida did have some momentum. I'm a little surprised, I guess, he popped when he did. So I guess let's start there. And then number two, like, what do you think that means for Miami in general in terms of chasing Andy Jean?
Yeah. I mean, not super surprised, because like what you said, I mean, I think things had kind of quietly behind the scenes been trending towards Florida. again, I was a little bit surprised that he popped. I think how quickly it all happened, I think it's pretty interesting also, but this is recruiting in 2022. The plan originally was for him to get up to Florida for Friday Night Lights. And, I was reassured a couple times over the week that he would be back at Miami for, the pool party, barbecue, cookout thing. So that obviously didn't happen. He ended up committing to Florida. What was it, like Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning? Whenever
Saturday
it was.
Saturday afternoon,
he ends up popping to Florida. And, kind of it is what it is. I expect Miami to recruit him. Obviously, I don't think they're just going to be like, oh, okay, he's going to Florida now. So
they're very high on next.
Yeah, Miami loves Andy Jean. And, I think Andy Jean is high on Miami, too. And again, I think we were talking about it, too, David. Like, it's also interesting how a Northwestern receiver that Miami really wants is going to Florida, because I feel like that's kind of like it's not like something that typically happens,
I guess. Fit.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because, Miami's obviously done a really good job historically at Northwestern, especially a couple cycles ago with Cam Kitchens, Romello Brinson, Khalil Brantley, guys Andy G knows really well. And even dating back before that, of course, obviously the 08 Northwestern class, all that stuff. Northwestern's just typically been a Miami school. So I think it's a very interesting fit and situation in general. But I definitely expect Miami to continue to recruit Andy G. And, they're obviously recruiting a couple other receivers as well. I think Andy Jean definitely falls into that category of guys that they will actively recruit, throughout the rest of this process.
And I will say, just being there, like at the barbecue, sources were, I would say, like you were saying, surprised that he wanted to pop so quickly like that. And Miami was trying to get him to push back from that. Hey, think about it. Maybe don't commit. but he went through with it. And like you said, I don't think Miami's going to necessarily stop recruiting him. So we'll see. And this is what he originally committed to Miami briefly earlier this cycle. Now he's committed to Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if he commits somewhere else by the end of this cycle. He just seems like, and I don't mean this to throw shade or anything, he just seems like that guy. So we'll see where his recruitment goes, the twists and turns of recruiting. Cornerback Dijon Johnson, you were all over this as well. Committed to Ohio State due to personal reasons, wanted to explore in-state options, and it seemed like things were going to move quickly for Dijon. In terms of, he's either going to end up at Florida or Miami with his next commitment. So Miami was working to get him down as well. He decommitted from Ohio State Sunday, I believe. No, Saturday. He visited Florida for Friday Night Lights, and he did not make it down to Miami. I can share, from a Miami perspective, at the barbecue, there was frustration there that they were unable to get in contact with Dijon. Read into that however you want to read into that. But there was problems getting in touch via phones with Dijon. So again, this is the recruiting game. Florida played it well with these two guys over the weekend. But Gabby, what's your sense on where things are with Dijon? Is this, because now Florida, the crystal balls are rolling in. Do you feel like it's a done deal to Florida yet? Or can Miami maybe convince him to wait and think about making a decision, which would be a good sign for the Hurricanes?
Yeah, I think Florida's in the best spot here for sure. And, I know since all of that, Miami has now been able to get in contact with Dijon Johnson. And I know that they've since spoken to him. Miami's been able to talk to him again, and they've been able to, communicate and kind of open that back up a little bit. Okay. So I think that that's something to consider. Miami's kind of, the communication lines are open again. And, so again, it's kind of like, does Dijon want to do something now, or is he going to maybe give himself some time to figure this out? I had kind of, before all of this kind of blew up and before it kind of became the Florida Miami thing, I had heard that, you know, it was possible that a decision was going to be made Monday. That was the word on like Thursday, Friday right. morning. That,
which is,
you know,
as we're recording now.
Monday. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's a, again, if something gets, if a decision gets made today, you know, I it's going to be Florida.
It's Florida.
I think it's just going to be Florida. If a decision gets made anytime over these next couple weeks, I think it could potentially be Florida. If he kind of drags
Miami
this out,
needs to get it to September.
Yeah, if Miami can get this to September, where they can maybe, you know, when, you know, when all that stuff lifts, where they can go watch him on a Friday night or whatever it is, or even maybe even get him on campus for an official visit or something like that, for one of these fall official visits, whenever they can do something. If he's not committed anywhere by the time that comes around, I think Miami is in the game, you know, but again, it just kind of depends how this all plays out from Dijon's standpoint and how quickly he wants to, you know, get, be over with this process. Right now, I think Florida's in the best spot.
All right. So again, this is the recruiting game. I think the last podcast we had mentioned how, or in one of these podcasts, right, how Miami had done such a good job winning head-to-head battles against Florida.
Yeah.
But we were pretty clear, like, Florida's going to win theirs against Miami, too. And, you know, this is the game. Official offers going out, Gabby. It's interesting because, you know, you get the ones you expect. You know, the guy's already committed. Miami sends their graphic to them. And they tweeted out, and it's really not surprising. But there are some surprising guys that do tweet out, hey, I got an official offer from Miami. How about we touch on maybe two or three guys that are worth highlighting that tweeted out on August 1st, hey, I got an official scholarship offer from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple really notable ones. I know Cedric Baxter just tweeted out his you know, official offer to Miami. I think that's a pretty big deal. And again, not saying that Miami's kind of like, you know, going to land a commitment, especially if one comes here soon. But I do think it's notable that he tweeted one out. Outside of the commits, linebacker Marcellus Pulliam, he tweeted out an official offer. He's a linebacker out of, I think, Sandy Creek, Georgia, that Miami's actually hosted on campus a couple times. And, you know, Miami does have three linebackers committed between Malik Bryant, Raul Aguirre, Bobby Washington. But, you know, I was kind of told that, you know, they could potentially go to four. And if that's not Stanquan Clark, who, you know, Miami really just honestly hasn't been able to get on campus. He went up to Louisville this weekend. You know, I think I could see Pulliam being one of those guys that they sort of, you know, pluck out of the Peach State. So I think that's a pretty notable one. Another one I thought was pretty interesting too, just again, the running back board being kind of blurry the way it is. You know, they extended an official offer out to Roderick Robinson, who's a UCLA commit out of San Diego Lincoln, which is a school Miami, you know, was really trying to recruit last cycle with Jaleel Florence and the defensive lineman that ended up signing with Oklahoma. Right. I can't remember his name now.
Keyshawn school too?
It is Keyshawn Smith school. Yeah. So, you know, again, we'll see how the official offers are rolling into the day. You know, we'll see who else ends up posting them. Dijon Johnson posted an official Miami offer, but he did post a Florida official offer individually. And he kind of clumped Miami into a group of offers. So read into that however you would like. But I mean, it's fine. You know, so I think a lot of these official offers are going out, and I think we'll probably see more interesting ones over the course of the day. So I would encourage Miami fans. I think we have a thread going at InsideTheU.com where we're posting all the official offers. So would definitely encourage you to be on the site and you know, kind of just kind of keep track. Yeah, stay up to date with those that are being posted to social media. I think Andy Jean posted his official Miami offer as well. So. You know, just kind of stay locked on there. We're having, you know, whether if the fans post it that see it, because oftentimes they see stuff first. You know, we have a bunch of just of the offers kind of getting thrown into that thread. So could be a one-stop shop for the whole official offer day, which is a pretty big deal as we see some maybe new names roll through. I mean, another offensive lineman, Nathan Afobe out of Georgia, is another one that posted an offer. He's someone that I think that they liked early on this cycle and, you know, could potentially still be recruiting in a way. So. Just definitely a lot going on.
So I think August is a time to kind of take it from a recruiting standpoint, take a breath, reassess the board, maybe figure out some new targets, maybe figure out what position groups in particular need to be attacked. I'm curious, Gabby, when you look at where Miami classes is at now, I think it's what, 16 commits. I think last I looked, it was the, yep, still is the number 9 overall class in the country. So they're definitely off to a good start, definitely have a ton of guys committed. And like you said, that allows them to also look forward to 2024. But I want to stick to 2023, and I want you to give me, I don't know, 3 targets or maybe even just position groups that you have your eye on when things open back up from a recruiting standpoint in September. What are you going to be looking at?
Yeah, I mean, just maybe just to give a position group, probably the interior defensive line. I think maybe the entire defensive line. I that's one spot I'm really looking at in December. You know, I think they're really doing a good job bolstering up this offensive line, and it feels like they could really, you know, pivot and kind of go, okay, here are the guys you're going to be competing with every day, you know, between Francis Malagoa. Let's see if, you know, I think it'd be pretty big if they can get like a Samson Akinlola type to potentially, you know, pull the trigger here in August. I think that's possible, you know, ahead of his senior season. Connor Liu is another offensive lineman I think that they have some traction with coming into a commitment on Friday. So I think defensive line is probably one position group where there's still a lot up in the air. We talked about Jordan Hall. We've talked about James Smith on this podcast. We've talked about David Hicks. A lot of those guys are still uncommitted and, you know, maybe waiting to see what goes on, you know, during their senior season. So those, I think that position group in general, let's see how the board sort of continues to take shape. And I think
they're in a good spot with these guys. It's just, it seems like these guys are just going to take their time.
Exactly. Right?
So
exactly.
I agree. That's an interesting group. I'm kind of interested on where they go with running back too.
Yeah.
You mentioned Cedric Baxter, you know, maybe that isn't over. It seems like Texas is the team to beat at, you know, but that might be old intel. I don't know. And then I'm kind of interested in cornerback too.
Yeah. I think cornerback's a really interesting one. Just because, again, you have Damari Brown, who's a local guy down the road who, you know, taking his time with his decision. You got Robert Stafford, Cormani McClain, again. And then what happens with Dijon Johnson? Does he commit to Florida? Right. Does he wait things out? I mean, how much does that sort of change things? And, you know, I think there's a couple other names. I think that there could be potentially more names coming up on the 2023 recruiting board that maybe aren't on it right now. I think we just got to kind of wait and see how, you know, everything shakes up. And, you know, David, we'll see, man. I know we know of a couple things potentially brewing behind the scenes. If any of those things come to fruition, I think it could get really interesting pretty quickly.
I want to ask you too, before we'll get out of here on this. I feel like we talk about him all the time, but Jaden Bonsu, he set his commitment date, announcement date on August 14th. We still feel good about Miami here?
Yeah, I mean, I there's nothing that kind of leads me to believe that it's not Miami right now. You know, I think maybe Ohio State's a school that could be pushing, but I mean, just kind of, you know, kind of staying really in touch with some sources up in you know, the northeastern part of the United States where you know, Bonsu's from. It sounds like Miami's kind of the pick, you know. It sounds like Miami's where he wants to be. I think there's just some things, you know, behind the scenes going on that, you know, I've maybe delayed the decision a couple times or just kind of muddied the waters a little bit, but I'm not sure throughout all that if he's really come off of Miami yet. I do think that, you know, that's probably where he wants to be. And, you know, again, as of right now, you know, August 1st, the recording of this podcast, I think I still think the Hurricanes are the team to beat.
Beautiful. All right. We will track all the recruiting because they'll definitely be, while it is a dead period, recruiting never stops. But fall camp is right around the corner. We have media days for the football team on Tuesday. So that'll be fun. Plenty of news and just be able to talk with the players and coaches. It'll be fun. So check out InsideTheU.com as we roll out those updates in the afternoon because media day starts in the afternoon on Tuesday. And maybe later on in the week, we will do kind of like a fall camp preview podcast where we kind of give our thoughts and expectations on both sides of the ball. So football right around the corner. Thank God, finally.
Yeah,
can't wait. Should be a fun year.
No doubt. But
let's wrap it up there. Get your T-shirts, your Gabby Urrutia T-shirts. I like Miami here at the InsideTheU.com store on YouTube.
Are they back in stock? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. I talked to Chris about that, and he didn't know that it had sold out. He's like, that's weird, because they're just kind of print to order. So I don't know, but apparently, right, they did sell out. So
that was the word on the street on the Inside the U message board. So
I got mine. I'll say that. So
I didn't get mine. I don't even know if I'm gonna have my own shirt. So we'll see. I might see it for hopefully I see it for the first time at a home game at Hard Rock Stadium. So if you wear it to That'd a home cool. game and you know you run into me, you know I'll show you guys some love and all that stuff. That would be pretty cool.
All right. So football's right around the corner. Appreciate everyone for listening. Appreciate everyone's support. Miami Hurricanes football is back at the end of the week.
Not back, though. Back to work. Back to work.
Till next time. Take care.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.